context of it, how it related, it didn't even make sense. And at one of the trainings we had, I think there was probably, what, like 12 guys, and there were 6 different languages spoken there. And so they were reading different language Bibles, different version Bibles, and so trying to just figure out what do they call the Ten Commandments or a stone slab. You know, it's in one version it's a rock, in another it's a plate, you know. And so it was just very difficult for them to be able to study and learn. And that's one of the things I think the Holy Spirit showed us on this trip. And I'll let Aaron talk more about that. But giving them tools to be able to feed themselves and understand it versus just listening to what somebody said and then repeating that, you know, whether it's good doctrine or bad doctrine, that's what somebody told me and that's what I know. So those kinds of things would be huge assets for them to have that, and then just being able to study the Bible and have the Holy Spirit as their teacher revealing those things to them. So it was pretty cool. And then when we were at the Baptist church in Depew, there was a bag sitting on the steps. Did you guys see that? So, well, there's one there. And the reason I put that in there, that was the first fruits of the garden picked that day, and the villagers bring it, and then the church will raffle it off or like auction it off after church to get money for the church. And so there was a couple bags up front that had fresh vegetables in there that the villagers had brought, and then afterwards they had snacks, and we went out, and on the steps there when we were sitting there, they were like raffling it off or auctioning off the vegetables. So it was kind of cool, just, you know, giving your first fruits to the Lord. They were actually really doing that. So I want to challenge everybody to do that yourselves. The stuff we do seems pale in comparison to some of the stuff I've heard over there. There's a guy that it put 14 guys through Bible college, and he's retranslating the Bible right now, because a missionary translated it for him, but the missionary had to come learn the language and then try to translate it. So there's some errors in there. So he's going back through translating it, and pretty incredible. And another guy we met, there were some missionaries in need. And so he moved his family out of his house, built a bamboo house on top, and they lived upstairs and gave the missionary family their house down below. So just incredible people. So please continue to pray for them, and thank you guys so much for your support.
Hello. Time is running out really fast, so I won't take much time, but it is always good to go back to India and take people like Aaron, Pastor Jeff, and Stanley along with me. And it's always good to go as a team and reinforce with some teachings, prayer, encouragement, and give them some support and love. So God is doing amazing stuff in India. I just wanted to tell you some of the report from this year really quick. There was a Muslim guy who was serving in Indian Army. Just 2 years ago, someone shared the gospel of Christ to him. And that really touched his heart and changed his life. And he quit serving Indian Army and came back home. And the family were like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I sold my life to Christ, and I want to serve him and honor him." And then he started sharing the gospel to his wife, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and neighbors, and all this stuff. And this year, he has a first house church gathering in his own house, you know, and he was so happy to tell me that. And, you know, so this is just one story out of thousands of stories, okay, that the Lord is doing. There was another guy who me and Jeff baptized in the first trip, and the one guy who went like this. He is a guy who grew up in madrasa, and his father was a teacher. His father was an imam in charge of the mosque and teaching from Quran. And he did not buy what the Quran was saying about their God, you know. And he has all that, you know, burning desire to know who is Isa al-Masih, that is Jesus Christ. And when he grew up, he started to search about Jesus, who is Jesus, and all that stuff. And he found out two things. One is the Prophet Muhammad, who represent Allah, did not know what's going to happen after life, what is going to happen tomorrow, what Allah is going to do to the humankind tomorrow. But Jesus knows what's going to happen. And that was the deal breaker for him. And he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And from that day on, he was kicked out from his house, and he served the Lord and shared the gospel to other people. That day when me and Jeff baptized, he told me after two years, he saw a light coming out from the water. And that really empowers him by the Holy Spirit, and he has no fear to share the gospel to other people, and he keep on sharing the gospel till the day we meet, so he will continue to do that. So those are some of the short story, but powerful story that the Lord is doing, and he's continuing to do that. Just to give you a brief this year report is that we have 336 people were baptized in Jesus Christ's name this year alone. Praise the Lord. And we have 40 house churches established this year. And that goes from 8 family to 15 family in one house church. So the Lord is doing amazing stuff. The next year will be again more greater and better, because the Lord has promised that he is going to expand the kingdom of his kingdom of God all over. So praise the Lord for that. I just want to finish with two things. There's a lot of things that are going on. Stanley mentioned political situation and all that stuff. But two things I would like to share. First thing is, Aaron and Stanley was a very good partner as the missionary trip this time, and I would like to take them again. Okay. So the aid, whatever was provided by the local people, and the aid really fast. And so the local people said, they are one of us. So that's a compliment. Second thing, one thing that happened is 2 days before we fly out, to make sure I told them to check their passport and travel itinerary. So both of them went to their own room and start making sure their passports are right and all that stuff. All of a sudden, Aaron just came out, swing the door open. They took it. I said, what? It's gone. What is gone? No, it's gone. It's not there anymore. It's gone. What do you mean? My passport. So he's like turning his face red and then start purple, and I'm like worried. What's? He's like, they took it. It's gone. I'm stuck here. I can't go anywhere. He's like, I'm like, in my mind, well, we can handle the passport issue, but if you collapse here and have a heart attack, then your insurance will not be active here, and we don't have hospital close by. So I'm like, just calm down, you know? So I asked him, how many bags do you have? He said, 2. Okay, did you check both of them? No, I put it here. Just yesterday, I put it here. I knew it was here. It's gone. How about we check the other bag? So sure enough, we opened the bag, and it was there. And he's like, I thought that was funny, so that's... Traveling for 18 years, it happened more than 30, 40 times to me, so I'm not so much serious about that because I've been there and done it before. So the other one, other story that funny was Stanley, for whatever reason, he's scared of spider. Forrest is such a big guy and tall guy, afraid of tiny spider, and I'm like, wow. So he killed two. Since we got to India, he killed two spider and showed me around and really proud, you know, and said, good job, you know. So we moved to another location, and he opened the toilet seat, and then there comes the spider crawling up. And then he was really terrified with that. So he was sharing with us and took pictures, and I'm not so sure he killed a spider or not. But that night, while he was sleeping in the middle of the night, the fan was on. One of his bed sheet was, the cloth was touching his hand, apparently. And he thought that was spider crawling over his hand. He jumped over his bed in the middle of the night and screamed like a girl, you know. And I'm like, give me a break. It's just a spider. You know, we can eat those spiders, some of the spider we eat, you know. And the way he measured the spider is he measured the whole entire lake. So how big is the spider? Oh, this big. I'm not, no, it was this big. You measure the body, not the hands, you know. So those are some funny stuff, but I can go on. But thank you very much for your financial support for this trip, and also your prayer and your moral support, and God is doing amazing stuff. I can't wait to go again. So just keep them in your prayer. Thank you.
Well, it's hard to, we've talked about a lot of things there, but there's a couple of things that I just wanted to say. Just quick little thoughts about the trip. The first thought was when we were traveling through the streets of India, it was really easy. I really enjoyed it. It's quite chaotic, and there's just all kinds of things happening. And I was like a puppy dog hanging out the window, just watching everything and just trying to experience all of it. Stanley was too. He did it in some other ways by trying everything. You saw him riding on the rickshaw. He was pedaling the guy. They got a bang out of that. He was carrying all kinds of stuff and tried to do everything. It's just really one of those places that is just super experiential. But one of the things that's hard to miss is when you're driving down the road and you're just looking at the people. And there were some times where my heart was just really broken because you could just see the hopelessness in the eyes of people. And that's one of the things that I really saw that kind of put it into perspective for me. There's just a lot of hopeless eyes and hearts in India. The awesome thing is, and through Go Give Hope, what we really saw is really reflected in the country itself. I mean, it's a beautiful place. We were there in the dry time, really, but the jungles are just lush. They're just amazing. Bamboo is growing, all these trees. You can't even walk through it. It's so thick, and it's just like that all over. I was looking down at the ground at one of the things when we were walking, and there was this melon that has just coming, breaking out of the gravel there. And it just got me thinking that in India, I really like biology, plants, all that kind of stuff. And man, you drop a seed in India and it just grows. Everything just grows. It is just so overwhelming. I mean, it's just there. And you can kind of see it there in that picture, just the banana plant there and the leaves. It's just beautiful, lush. The interesting thing is that the gospel right now is like that, like a seed that is just being planted in the hearts of these people, and it is just starting to just burst forth. And one of the interesting things, when we would go to these different programs and the different pastors and church leaders and church planners, they were just really so thankful for the Americans. they were really thankful for Americans and the missions programs of early this century, and how the American church had sent so many missionaries into this area, particularly of India. There wasn't a lot necessarily of fruit that happened there, but translation happened. So many really amazing things happened, and the gospel was planted there, and it has just really started to just really grow and take root in the hearts of people. And so that was just really, really neat to see. One other thing, we kind of switched. I was going to teach through 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6 all through that time. I'm going to read just a little bit from it here in a minute, but we started the programs out teaching that, but it was pretty apparent through the first program that they just weren't grabbing on. And, you know, I don't know if you've been on a short-term mission trip, but one of the things that is kind of in my heart as I go on missions, a short-term mission trip, am I doing anything that really is lasting? Because a lot of times it seems like it's all about yourself. And it's all about, you know, self-learning and all of these things. Are we really doing anything lasting? Well, I was kind of having that moment in my life because I'm teaching through this, and I was talking to one of the guys, Nobo, and he was saying, well, yeah, I could understand what you're saying because I speak English and I can understand English, but there's guys here that aren't getting anything out of what you're saying. And so that really challenged me to think about that. So Emily and I and Stanley, we talked about it, and we changed the program there early on to start teaching the inductive Bible study method. And one of the key phrases that we started saying to them, and we would ask this question before when we started the inductive Bible study method, and it was very culturally relevant to them. We would ask them, so how do you eat an elephant? You know, how do you eat an elephant? And some of them had different responses. And one tribe said, well, you don't eat elephants, you know, because they're super afraid of elephants. All kinds of reasons they wouldn't really do that. Their elephants are just really devastating there. They'll come into a village and just completely wreck it. And people are killed by elephants. So it's not something you really want to get close to. But we know that's a statement that we make. How do you eat an elephant? Well, it's one piece at a time, or one bite at a time. That's how you eat an elephant. And inductive Bible study really is, that's the heart of inductive Bible study, that we observe, we interpret, and then we apply that. And I'll tell you what, man, it took a while for them to really get onto it. And we spent hours, you know, going through this and showing in a very simple way what this could actually do. But at the end of most of them, we would have a few people come up to us and they would just say, we just really thank you for this because we feel like you're unlocking, you've given us a key to unlock the scriptures. And to me, that was just really, really exciting, because that's what we really want to do. I think all of us in our giving of our money, or, you know, our offering, our prayers, our time that we spend, you know, interceding for people, you know, we really want to see the fruit of what we have done, or what God can do with what we give. And I just really think that this inductive Bible study can be a real tool for them really to mine the Word of God, and not just regurgitate things that they've heard, but really do that self-study. And I think that all of us really know how special and how amazing that really is in our lives, when we have those aha moments, when God shows you something out of His Word, or communicates something to you that you never saw before out of His Word. And so it was really a blessing to be a part of that, really a blessing to really minister to them in that way. And that's something that I would encourage you to really pray for. There were some guys and some gals that really got the method. And one of the guys that I was talking to, I really saw in the middle of the time that we were sharing that method, he really got it. He started furiously writing through his journal, writing all this stuff down. We looked at his notebook afterward, and it was just full of really amazing things that he had gotten out of just this little passage. And then he told me, I'm going to take this back and I'm going to share this with the church planters that I know and the evangelists that I know back in my village. And so he sent me through WhatsApp, he sent me a picture of him teaching these guys this method. And, you know, I mean, that's what we want, isn't it? We want to see the things of God just blow up in people's hearts and minds. We want to see that reality of what God can do in people's lives. And so it's super fruitful. One thing that I'm really thankful that all of you who are a part of is giving to the education of those kids. I know there are a lot of people here that are doing that. We may never know how that impacts. We may never know how that impacts India. You may never know. You may have that little, you know, card on your fridge, or you may have the card of the church planner that you're supporting. You may never really know what that really does. But I know that when we see the Lord, you know, we're going to see the fruit of all those things that we've done. And I just am thankful for you all and thankful that you have committed to support missions. It really is a blessing because that's God's heart. And we see that there in John 3:16. We see God's heart there that he gave his only begotten son, that we could end up coming to him. One of the scriptures that I just want to share with you, and that we taught through a couple times, and we talked through, and we did the inductive method over, was in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, and it says, "And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." You know, all of these things that we saw, it was really that. These guys and these gals that are out there giving their life, they go into a village and they basically look for somebody that will be open to the gospel. They're really giving their life. They have nothing, and they are just, all they have to give is the gospel. And the interesting thing is they have probably a knowledge of the Bible that is about like the kids in the Sunday school. That's really the knowledge that they have. But you know what? This verse says that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God. And we see that working there in India in such a simple and a beautiful way. So as you pray, as you think of missions, as you think of the check that you write, or you're reminded of India, just pray that that simple sufficiency of Christ would be displayed through the lives of these people that are giving their lives. And also, pray that the Lord would give you boldness where you're at and in the community that you're in. The people that you are seeing every day, pray that the Lord will give you boldness to share in simplicity and in the sufficiency of Christ, the gospel. This is a beautiful time of year that we have to be able to celebrate that and to share with people. It's just a natural bridge into people's lives. And so we want to just be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we're just really thankful for all that you have done in our hearts and our lives. Lord, you actually do great things. Sometimes we get so involved in our lives and the things that weigh us down that we forget, Lord, that you are a God of great things, and that you do, and that you are going to do great things. And so, Lord, we just are thankful for all that you are doing. Lord, we want to be a part of that, and we want your Spirit to move in our hearts and our lives in a fresh way. So, Lord, be glorified, we pray, and we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you stand? We're going to close in a song. Above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things.
Yep. Amen. Brett, just pray that you guys are blessed this week, and that that you'll just see the Lord working in new and fresh ways in your life. All right. God bless you.